We're beginning with the Tosfos on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Dibra Maschil Ein Nosne. Mikano Yenirul Rabbeinu Tam Lahatir Al Yidei Kablonus Nachri Livnos B'Shabbos. So it sounds like if you have an arrangement with a guy that he works for you on Shabbos, that's prohibited. And let's say, for example, you're going to pay the guy for work on Shabbos, then it's similar to, or it looks like he's been commissioned to do your work on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to have a guy work for you on Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Tam says that's only a schir yom. So you signed a contract with him to work for you on Shabbos. And the guy is clearly working on your behalf. He's building, he's construction for you on Shabbos. That's prohibited. But if it's a case of kablonus, which we're trying to understand, kablonus means that you're not paying him for hour, you're paying him for the job, you know, the finished product, and the guy himself will decide at what pace and which days of the week he wants to work on. That's mutter, says Rabbeinu Tam. So if I hire a guy for construction and I say, build me a building, and a guy decides to work on Shabbos, there's no problem, because it's not a Melecha Shabbos that I commissioned. It's not within the framework of what's called Schir Yom. Schir Yom means we signed a document, I'm paying you for a day's work, and that day is Saturday. And that's prohibited. So now, to try to understand the difference between a Schir Yom and a Kablan, we're going to study a Rambam in Perek Vav, Mehilcha Shabbos, Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha, Perek Vav in Hilcha Shabbos is dedicated to the laws of Amir Li Akum. And there in that parak, the Rambam says, Posek Adam imagoi al hamalacha v'kotzeitz damim v'agoi osa li'atzmo af bishu osa b'shabes mutar. He says the following, that you can sign a contract with a guy on a certain malacha, and you agree to pay him wages for that malacha, and then the guy decides on his own at what pace he wants to do the malach. And even if he decides to do the malach on Shabbos, no problem. Or I hire the guy for a month's work or a week's work. Even though included within that agreement is that he'll work on Shabbos and I'm paying him for that labor, nevertheless it's mutter. Ketzad. He hired a guy for a year, or 2 years. She yichtov, so he hires him as a scribe, or she yaroglo, or he's a weaver. Harezek kosei v'orig b'shabbos. It doesn't bother me if the guy decides that he wants to work on Saturday. Umutar. It's as if it was kablanus, which means do me a job. I'm waiting for the book to be finished. I'm waiting for the garment to be woven. Which means that there's no time element whatsoever. Here there is a time element because he's paying him for a year's work. And that year includes 52 Shabbosos. But nevertheless, the Rambam says you're allowed to do that because it's equivalent to kablanus, when you hire the guy to do a job. The Rambam has one limitation, one proviso. It cannot be where you're paying him per day. You could hire someone for the year's work with a per day wage, and that that's not acceptable, because then you're paying him specifically for the labor that he does on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, you say, do me a year's work of labor, and I'm going to pay you for a year, but I'm not mentioning in the contract a daily payment, so there's no, you know, I might be paying you $365 or $365,000, right? But I don't specify in the contract that I'm paying you per day. I mean, if you have a little basic knowledge of mathematics, you'll be able to calculate what he's paying per day, the Jew is paying per day, but it doesn't matter. It was never spelled out. It was what we call Bavla. In other words, Shabbos was sort of swallowed up in the week or in the year. That's the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis. Now we go to Perek Vav Halacha Yud Gimel, and then we'll fast forward to Halacha Tes Vav. The Rambam says that there's a difference between malacha of the guy that's done Bitsina as opposed to Farhesia. And the Rambam turns out that even in a case of Schirus, where you're paying him for his labor, namely a full year's work of labor, you're not paying him for the final product, which is called Kablonus. Nevertheless, there's no difference between the two as long as you didn't pay him per day. And in the case of a kablon, where you're paying him for the final product, the heter on Shabbos, for such an agreement that would include malach on Shabbos, is that the kablan, the guy who has been hired, he doesn't have to work on Shabbos. That's not part of the agreement. He makes his own decision, Mr. John Paul Jones, that he wants to work on Saturday. And that's why the Rambam adds the words Vagoy Osel Yatzmo. Now we get to Schir Yom. And the Rambam says that even in Schirus, it's Mutter, Kigon, V'kayam Neshes Sochol Yomim Harbe L'shono L'shnotayim, D'chol Kai Gavna B'yada Okum Lasa Schirus B'chol Eishe Yirtza. Ah, this is interesting. The guy, within the framework of that contractual agreement, is allowed to take off on Saturday. He hasn't committed himself to do the work on Saturday. Now, exactly how many days of the week he has to work, I do not know. But apparently, he can take at least one day off. Once he is allowed to take one day off, and it doesn't affect his contract, then he can decide on his own that he wants to take off on Saturday. Is kol shebekai gavna shebiyad ha'akum lasos eschiros b'chol eishi yirtze v'ein ha'schirus b'chayeves lavod b'shabes, it's mutter. So again, we want to know if the contract between the Jew and the guy forces the guy contractually to work on Shabbos. If it does, then that's prohibited. If the contract doesn't force him to work on Shabbos, and he, the guy, chooses to do so on his own initiative, then the malacha that he does is not contractually related to the Yisrael. The Yisrael who wrote the contract, did he, within the contract, obligate the guy, if he wants to make a certain salary, to work on Shabbos? If the contract requires of him to work on Shabbos, and you're paying the guy specifically for work on Shabbos contractually, then it's prohibited. But anything beyond that, if you have what's called a schiris relationship, which means I'm paying you for the labor, not for the product of the labor, then if he can get the same identical salary, this guy, as a schir, as a sachir, even if he observes his day of rest as Shabbos, his Saturday becomes his day of rest, then that's mutter. You would have thought, ma'o detema, that if he hires him for a year's work, it means he's got to work on Saturdays. No. What he means by a year's work is, give me a year's work. What's a year's work? Well, you have a certain amount of vacation time. I don't know if it's, you know, the different vacation weeks. Here in Israel, classic, you know, the classic vacation week had only one day off. In America, the classic vacation week has 2 days off. And then Friday might be a half a day. I don't know. In Canada, every other day they had some sort of vacation. Every day I woke up and they said, oh, it's Canada Day today. It's this day. It's that day. I guess you have to give some pitsui for someone who lives in such a climate. So they gave more, you know, in order to boost up the morale there in Canada, they give more vacation days. I don't know. This is all just my own imagination. So within a framework of a contract for a year, there's nothing forcing the guy to achieve his goal of getting that X salary that's in the contract that would force him to work on Saturday. Then it's okay. But if you have a schirus in which you're paying him for the work on Saturday, and that's spelled out in the contract, that's awesome. Okay then? So again, if you have a schir yom, but the schir is an extended period of time such that it's in the hands of the guy to decide whether, you know, when he's going to work, when he's not going to work, and the schir doesn't commit him or obligate him to work on Shabbos, then it's mut. He quotes here the Magen Avraham. The guy decided on his own to work on Shabbos. But let's see. We want to see two things. Now, first, we want to see how the Rav interprets the Rambam, and secondly, why the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says the following. According to the Rambam, the essence of the Isur of Schiris Goy for work on Shabbos is Amirali Akum. And that's how the Rambam opens up this sixth parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Asur Lomar LeGoy, Lasol Sol Melacha B'Shabbos. Now, if the contract requires that the Goy work on Shabbos, that's called Amirali Goy. He is doing work for you. It's not Mi'atzmo. It's not the guy's decision, but you required him to work on Shabbos. And that's included under the general rubric of Amir Liak. But if he sets up a salary, wages, and the guy decides to work on Shabbos, but he's not contractually obligated, that's not called Amir Liak. However, the Rambam says, Befarhesi, it's always Asur. You can't do... again, if it's construction site and the guy is working for you on Shabbos, that's prohibited. And the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Gimel, Im Hoysa, Amalacha Gluya, V'yaduo, before Semes, Asura, Sharoes, Hagoy, Oseik, Eini Yodea, Shekotzatz. The onlooker has no clue that it was the guy's decision to work on Shabbos. The Omer, and instead, the onlooker, the spectator, comes to the mistaken conclusion: Japloni Socher Goy Lasos Melacha B'Shabbos. So that has to be avoided, and therefore Farhesia, in all cases, is awesome. And the Rav wants to say that in such a case, that it looks and appears to the spectator as if the guy was hired for work on Shabbos, that's already included under the general Iser of Amir Eliyahu. Even though technically there was no Amir Eliyakum, but it looks like there was Amir Eliyakum. Now we get to point number two, the Ravid. Omer Avraham, Davar ze lo savir v'lo nahir. Doesn't make sense. Sha'af al pi she'eno medagdek imo kishu batel, even though the guy decides to take off a day and nobody's going to come after him with a shotgun, Mikomakom Osa Malacha Mishtarshale. Whoa. Osa Malacha Mishtarshale. Which means is the following. If I understand correctly, that if he doesn't do that malach on Shabbos, then it's gonna impact on the rest of his schedule, on the rest of his work day, or work week, or whatever it is. I don't know the literal translation of the word mishtarsha, but I think it means it like rolls over, sort of. If you have access to Dr. Jastro, which I have, I think, in the other part of town, you can look up mishtarsha. I don't know exactly what the root of the word is, so it could be the mem doesn't belong, I don't know. And he says, ein zeh doma lekablanut. Again, in kablanut, the guy doesn't lose anything. He's going to take his time and finish this job at whatever pace and by whatever time he so chooses. Then that's not any sort of imposition. But in a case where he's paid for a full year's work, if he takes off at a certain time, then he's going to suffer a loss. Either he's going to have to make it up at a different time. He says, what it seems from the Ravid is that the Ravid may have had a different understanding of what the Rambam was talking about. And he interpreted the Ravid that the heter of the Rambam is because of what's called an Isur Schirus B'Shabbos, and that only applies Rak b'moleches akum sheyesh mimena hanoah v'revach liYisrael. Let's just try to think what he means when he says hanoah v'revach liYisrael. Al kein kolas shaschirus milechatchilu miyuseres al moleches Shabbos im kein havile ke'ilu Yisrael marviach. I'm trying to figure out what he means. Oh, I see. The Ravid is saying the following. That in the case of Kablanus, the Israel doesn't lose a hair's breadth if the guy takes off on Shabbos. Because what the Yisrael wants to gain here is the final product. But in Schirus, the more the guy works, the better it is for the Yisrael. Because this work is an ongoing kind of work. In other words, the financial benefits that accrue to the Israel increase the more malacha that the guy does. So imagine if the guy would work 24/7, which obviously is impossible. Maybe he'll get his family together to work during certain night shifts. The Israel gains from every single malacha that this guy implements. So if the guy works on Shabbos for him, then the Israel has gained another extra day of malacha. And therefore the malacha Shabbos of the guy is now related to the Israel insofar as the Israel benefits from that malacha. So the issue according to the Ravid is not going to be whether the guy himself made the decision on his own free will to work or to take off on Shabbos. No. The Isur of Meleches Goy B'Shabbos for Yisrael applies according to the Ravid whenever the extra work of the Goy is beneficial to the Balabayas, in this case the Jew who hired him. And if that extra work is on Shabbos, then that's what the Israel benefits. He benefits an extra day. Like, let's say, let me give you an example. Suppose you pay a security guard. So every day that he works in security, you gain something because your building, let's say, is now protected. It's secure. So even if you hire a guy as a security guard in such a way that the guy will decide what days of the week he works, and it's his own decision to work on Saturday, nevertheless, you as the Yisrael who hired him, you benefit from that work that he did on Saturday. Now, that might even apply to a case of weaving. Even though I could have hired him as a kaplan, which means I want you to weave me 10 garments, and then when he weaves them, whether he weaves them during the week or on Shabbos, is totally irrelevant to me. I just want to get the 10 garments. That for sure is mutter. Because then it's totally the guy who decides to work on Shabbos, which is not in any way beneficial to the Yisrael. But if on the other hand, let's say I hire him to weave, and weave and weave and weave, and whatever he can weave, how many garments within a year's time, the Yisrael gains, the more the merrier. You know, it's not a specific number of garments that have to be presented by the guy to the Jew, but rather I'm paying him for his labor, and I gain from that labor. As the Yisrael who hired him, I'll gain from the fact that he labored on Shabbos. Says the Ravid, if that's the case, then I don't understand the logic of the Rambam. He says, "Kol shaschiris milchatchilim yusedes al melechas Shabbos," which means that the melech is done by the guy and is beneficial to the Yisrael. And the fact that the guy chose to work on Shabbos is an extra day of work that the, in other words, for that day of work, the Yisrael gains, he benefits. So again, in the case of, for example, a kablan, what difference does it make to the Yisrael who hired this guy, whether he puts the work in on Shabbos or he puts it in on Sunday? And therefore, it's the guy's own decision to work on Shabbos. And the Ravid asks, "Bechol gavnei choshev sheYisrael nena mimeleches akum kevin shesof sof osa melacha mishtar shalei." I think now mishtar shalei means he benefits from it. It's the ultimate result is that he gets more for his buck. You know, he gets more work, the Yisrael. It's irrelevant, says the Ravid, whether or not he could postpone his work till tomorrow, till Sunday, without violating the contract. But sof hashta yeshlo hanova rech mimelechas Shabbos, even though it wasn't contractual that would force him to work on Shabbos. But at the end of the day, even if he made that decision on his own, the guy, but still the Yisrael gains and benefits from it. It's therefore ein nafkamina b'zeh beinim schoro l'shana o shnatayim o l'zman mu'ot. So again, it's not a question of, according to the Ravid, does the guy have within the contract rights to take off on Shabbos, and therefore the guy made his own decision to work on Shabbos, but rather it depends upon whether or not the Yisrael is gaining something from the malach that was done on Shabbos. And if it's the latter definition, and that's what's prohibited, because the Yisrael is gaining from the loch of the guy on Shabbos, even though, again, no one bludgeoned the guy to work on Shabbos, but the Yisrael is getting benefit from it. is then in a case of schirus, by definition, in the very fabric or essence of schirus, it's got to be awesome. Because schirus means he's paying him for the labor, the ongoing labor. If he adds Shabbos as one of his labor days, then the Israel gains from that. Now, if our interpretation, says the Rav, is the correct one, that the Rambam is talking about the Isur Amir Li Akum, then l'chor, the Ravid's argument is not an argument, because if it's Amir Li Akum, as long as the guy makes his decision, which is not obligated by virtue of the contract, to, if he decides to work on Shabbos, that's his own personal decision, that's not called Amir Li Akum. Or I would say, asias melacha al yidei akum litzorech haYisrael kidei lehenos mimenu. In other words, even if I grant you that the Isur according to the Rambam is amir liakum, any malacha that's done by the guy for the Jew, and the Jew will benefit from that malacha, that itself is called Amir Liakum. Aval ein Isra Amir Liakum oser kol maleches akum b'shabes. Al kein gam b'kablonus kevin she'ein liyisrael kol srach hanami malacha zu avali ka'akum osam li'atzma. Now, it's even the Ravid agrees, according to this interpretation, that there's such a thing called akum osa liatzmo, and that's outside of the parameters of the Isra Amir Li Akum. And in Kavlanut, when the guy decides that he wants to work on Shabbos, the Israel doesn't gain anything at all. And that's already considered akum ha'osem malacha me'atzma. But as long as the Jew is deriving benefit from the guy, even though the guy can choose which day he work, which day he'll rest, that's considered amir liakum. Because then, clearly the guy is operating on behalf of the Israel is benefiting from it. That's called amir liakum. The Yesoda Dvarim. So now we're on Pei Zion, on the left column. Mitli Tolui Besfekas Tosus Bometzia Tzadi Omen Aleph. Im Yesh Iser Akum Amir Li Akum Kshu Omer Lo Bashel Li Atzmecha V'ein Li Yisrael Kol Hana Me'amalocha. He's got a guy in his house, and he tells the guy on Shabbos, you cook for yourself. So apparently Tosis, as we'll soon see, vacillates whether you're allowed to do that. Mehai taima nami mutaloma l'nochri helech basar u'bashel etzarkecha kishein mutal olav lazuno. So the Israel offers a piece of meat, raw meat, to the guy. He's not obligated to give that to the guy, and he tells the guy, go prepare the meat. V'eino marviach v'osa amira klum. Al pi zeh, nokat harayvid, dizeo shitas haramam, shematir kol sha'akum osa li'atzma, duchaygav nechoshiv, di'eina yisrael marviach klum b'malocha zu. V'al zeh hisig harayvid shapir, the kevan de mishtar sholei malacha zu al kain havilek bechol gavik malacha litzarch Yisrael, meaning if the Israel benefits financially from that malacha on Shabbos, then it's considered litzarch Yisrael. V'ein zeh malacha litzarch akum achein ayin b'tos v'sham shekosvu b'maskanosam umiu omeri t'lo domi li omer l'nochri achol nevela. The Ayin Rush Perek Zayin the Bamitzi the Asul Lomel and Nochri Bashel Bishvil Atzmecha Da Iser Hu Gufa Nira Vamaisa Malacha Gambali Shum Revach La Yisrael. I guess maybe because the Jew owns the meat, or maybe just this fact that he tells the guy to cook the meat. I don't know exactly. Mechein Nifsak B'Shulchan Aruch. Lefishita satosvus yesh levayas achiluk shal arama ben kablon lusachir. Then afkemina who beikar din amirali akum de bekablan became the ena akum muchrach lasos es amaloch b'shabbes al kein havile ke akum haose miatzmo below amira klal. So again, according to the first Tosfos that we saw, it all depends upon whether Yisrael gets benefit from it. And therefore the Ravid argues against the Rambam that in the case of Schirus, even for a Shana, every time that the guy works on Shabbos, the Yisrael benefits. That Malach is being done on behalf of Yisrael, it has to be Osir. And that's his Hasaga on the Rambam. But now we have another Tosfos in the name of the Ri. And he says that whenever you tell the guy to do something which you yourself could not do, as you tell, you're instructing him to do a malacha, that's amir liyakum. And that sounds like the guf amira, the Easter is the guf amira. And it's irrelevant, it's regardless of whether Israel benefits from it. So if that be the case, then in the case, then schirus is like kablonus. Ah, wait a second. Lefishitas atos yesh levaras achiluk chiluk arama ben kablon lesochir. Oh, I think he means sochir. He means schir yom. There's a little ambiguity here. Let's go back to the Rambam at the very beginning, which is in the paragraph Dibra Masel Venira. Posek other magoy al ha. Al malach of a kotzei tzdom v'agoy osel yatz afal pishu osel b'shavas mut v'chein socha v'chein ha-socher es ha-goy li-yomim harbe. And then at the end the Rambam writes v'hu shalo yachshov imo yom yom. Ah, so that's the chiluk. In other words, when he says here at the end of this paragraph, Dibra Maskel Achein, that the Rambam is mechalek between Kablon and a Sochir, right? He says Yesh Levaris Achiluk as Chiluk a Rambam ben Kablon leSochir. I would add a footnote here. What he means by Sochir, he means Sochir Yom Yom, right? Lo Yechashev Imo Yom Yom. Because then there's an Amir Eliakum when he tells the guy, I'm paying you for the work on Shabbos. But in the first case, which is Sochir Liyomim Harbe, there's no Amir Eliakum. Now Tosfos, in the second opinion in the name of the Re, seems to be totally oblivious to whether the Israel is gaining anything by this malacha. For example, he tells the guy to be mavashel, but not for the Israel, but for the guy himself. And yet it's asur. So the flip side might be true as well. What happens if there was no Amir Liakum, but the Israel benefits from the malacha? That would be the case of Schir Shana. So the Ravid says, wait a minute, Schir Shana, he's gaining from the malacha, the labor that's done by the guy on Shabbos, that should be also. It becomes a Melechus Yisrael. Melechus Akum Litzorch Yisrael. How could the Rambam permit such a thing? But now we're saying, no, the Isra here has nothing to do with the benefit of the Israel. And what determines is the Amir itself, the Guf Amira. That's the essence of the Isur. And if there's no Amira, then even if the guy chooses on his own volition to work on Shabbos and the Israel gains from that, there was no Amira and hence it's Mutter. That's what I think he means here in this last paragraph. Although, again, I would write a letter to the editor, he should have clarified it a little bit better.